Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, our God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, Lord, God of Jacob is our help. Lord, we bless your holy name as we live for thy name's sake, O Lord. Lord, may you bless us and teach us this day, that we may receive thy grace to serve thee, to glorify your mighty name, and to please your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the living word that you put in all of us. Lord, may you bless us to be the fulfillment of thy promises, to be the manifestation of thy word, for we are all part of the word. Lord, as we are here, O Lord, surrendering ourselves as a whole, Lord, may you bless us that we may conform to the image, that we may abide in thy word, that we may obey and follow you, Lord, with the willingness, the desire, the same desire that you have to save us and to redeem us. Lord, may you bless us to have the same desire to follow you and to love you from all we have got, O Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you gathered us, all of us, in thy name. It is your house, O Lord, your ministry. Lord, bless us, O Lord, to stand here as the child of God. You called all of us by name, O Lord. And you granted all of us, O Lord, thy grace and mercy, that we will all stand today and praise you and worship you with whatever the best we can do, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the last 7 days, and thank you, Lord, for today. And thank you, Lord, for tomorrow, for we are nothing without you, Lord. The branches are nothing without the vine. So, Lord, may you bless us to abide in thy word, humbly, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our spirit, with all of us as a whole on the altar, to bless your name and to glorify thy wondrous works in our lives, O Lord. We give all glory to thy name. May you bless us, sanctify our hearts, consecrate our hearts, clean our mind, and Lord, smote our heads with the angel of the Lord when you speak, O Lord, the words of life. And Lord, it brings forth life. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us. And thank you, Lord, for teaching us. And thank you, Lord, for chastening us. For the Father does everything for the good of the children. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we surrender our soul. We humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And Lord, help us, O Lord, to continue to walk with you humbly in this journey. We surrender the sermon and our thoughts, our minds into thy mighty hands. Bless us to do and think and speak everything that glorifies your mighty name. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. Greetings to you all, overseas brethren, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for all the good things that happened to us in the last week. Not necessarily maybe sweet, not that something that brings happiness or joy to your heart, but as we learn from the word of the Lord, God is good. Amen. Amen. Whatever he does is for your good. It is well with our soul. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Book of Isaiah, chapter 28. I shall read from verse 23. Verse 23. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the plots of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley in the rye in the place, For it God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. For the fishes are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is the cart wheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fishes are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By God's grace, last Sunday, we meditated on the six things. Six wonderful things. Whatsoever things, if there be any virtue, there be any prize, think for all these things. The whole sermon was rooted on that verse, Philippians chapter 4. Now, if the Lord blesses and encourages to keep thinking about the goodness of Him, those six things that brings virtue, that brings praise, that brings forth life, in the book of Proverbs, we also learn there are six more things the Lord hates, and seven are an abomination unto Him. Amen? Why it has to be exactly six? And we know the spiritual prefiguration of the number six. So there are six things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination unto Him, and there are six things the Lord wants us to keep thinking, because it can bring forth virtue and praise. And the last one is good report. Amen? On the other side, the last one, seventh one, is sowing discord among the brethren. So, on one side, it brings forth life. On the other side, it brings forth death, destruction, and judgment. So today, by God's grace, we shall meditate on the book of Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel. And prayerfully, we will seek the leading of the Spirit, the teaching of the Master, to learn from what are those things that pushed the righteous judge to come into the scene. Amen? See, God did not come into the scene for all things. He had spoken, He had purposed the thoughts, and He had defined the boundaries, the territories, on how He will perform His work. A good example, if the Lord blessed a nation and blessed the king and blessed the people, if there are enemies from the surrounding nations who gathered against them and they march forward to attack the city and to break the wall, break the gates, to go and kill the woman, kill the children, this is one particular scenario where the children of God are going to be attacked by the enemies from the world. Amen? This is one side. We keep it there. On the other side, what if within the city, if the enemy was able to hold on to certain people and to create an army within the city to kill the king, to kill the people, the very own people whom they love in the Lord. So in these two scenarios, do you see what is the only thing that separates? It's the wall. Amen? Inside the wall, outside the wall. Isn't it? God defined His territory as a camp. Amen? You know what is the meaning of camp? A camp has places for you to stay as a demarcation territory to define what is the length and breadth and width of this camp, and how far this camp is defined as within camp and outside the camp. When we study in the word of the Lord, we must bear His reproach outside the camp, and you know, we must bear until the very end. Amen? If the Lord had spoken about the words the wall in the book of Ezekiel, book of Isaiah, literally in the book of Nehemiah, but the wall always represents something, the Lord, how He speaks to His children, how he sees his children and how he look at those who sit on the wall and how he judged those who throw their weapons or arrows against the wall. If they are enemies, he deals it differently. If they are betrayers inside the camp, he deals it differently. Because God had revealed himself to some and did not reveal himself to some. Amen? The scripture. Those whom he say, my children, my sheep hear my voice. Amen? And those who are not his children, who would never hear his voice. But who knows that? Known only to him. And for us, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. For the Lord whom we serve, he is mighty in battle. Amen? Now, today we are going to bring whatever the Lord taught us in the past weeks concerning the beauty, the divine understanding of his anger, of his wrath, which is nothing but the other side of his love. Amen? Because God, his love, the way he filled our heart with his peace, and the way he blessed all of us with his faith, his grace, his mercy, his joy, everything back to him. Amen? Because all that brings forth goodness is from him.
Amen.
So we give all glory back to him.
Amen.
So this circle of reconciliation, the agape love that resonates back and forth between the creation and the creator, tells who are his children and who are not. And that is the foundation. The Lord says, I know my children by the foundation they stand upon.
Amen.
If by God's grace and mercy, if we can stand firm on his foundation, we would fulfill all the promises, all the manifestation concerning the part of the word that is living inside you.
Amen.
And there is none stopping you. Amen? Because it is God who is working in you, and it is God who is working through you, and it is God who is working for you.
Amen.
So now, the house of the Lord is named by the Lord himself as the house of prayer. Amen? Because the Lord says, the body shall listen to the head. If there is pain in the body, the head must feel it and to do what needs to be done. Everything goes back to the head. The head of the church is our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So now, if we say, Lord, we thank you for the house, and Lord, we thank you for the family of God, and Lord, we are so glad that we are part of your family. You are the head. You are the high priest. You are the righteous judge.
Amen.
You are my master. You are my teacher. You are my life. You are everything. But do we sing, do we say everything with understanding?
Amen.
So last Sunday, we closed the sermon with 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. If I may speak, I speak with understanding.
Amen.
If I sing, I sing with understanding. Because you can sing, but still without understanding.
Amen.
You can sing for the tunes. You can sing for the music. You can sing just because people are singing. But do we speak? Do we think? Do we sing with understanding?
Amen.
Is there any other understanding other than the truth? Amen? The revelation of the truth in your life is your understanding blessed by God himself. Because truth can only be revealed by the truth. Amen?
Amen?
If you say, Lord, I have your love, then God would say, I am the love. If you don't have me, you don't have my love. That is why we say, God, you are in me. Because the love that I have deep inside of me is not of me, it's of you. And for that reason, God, you are in me and I am in you.
Amen.
The love of God is in Christ Jesus. Amen? So now, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We have few verses to read to complete what we studied last Sunday. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 25 from 31. Brother Clement, read this for us.
Ezekiel 22, 25 to 31. The conspiracy of a prophet in her midst is like a roaring lion, tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath. So I am profane among them. Her priests in her midst are like wolves tearing their prey, to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God," when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, said the Lord God.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Verse 28. Let's look at this prayerfully. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God," when the Lord had not spoken. Thus saith the Lord God, then the Lord hath not spoken. And whatever things that are associated with that thing which the Lord hath not spoken, do you know the name for it? The book of Ecclesiastes, it presents us so beautifully. It's called vanity. Anything without God is vanity of vanities. Emptiness. Nothing. Nothing means nothing. There is a difference between plain and there is a difference between nothing. And the Lord told the watchman, go, arise and go to the plain. Amen? Plain, where you will see nothing but me. You would have nothing to distract you or to deviate you from the focus of you looking up to me. Amen? Plain. Whatever is haughty-minded, all the walls of Jericho, the Lord will bring it down and flatten it to the dust so that everything will remain plain. You go to a desert, you look all sides, you see nothing. It's called plain. You go to the deep ocean, you see no boundaries, no territories, and you call it plain. Because there is none can deliver you other than Him. And for that reason, for that teaching, He will put you on the plain. He will throw you in the valley. He will exalt you on the mountain to test you. You know, your name is the child of God, right? Amen? On the mountain, what is your name? Child of God. In the valley, what is your name? Child of God. So what makes it so different? Lord, I would love you, serve you with all I have got on the mountain. But when I go to the valley, you know I'm not the child of God. I am a child of God. We ourselves define what name that you want to embrace. A child of God is the child of the King. Amen? The King of Kings. Do we behave like a child of the King? It is true. The valleys are not going to be sweet. But if you truly believe God is good, so this loss, this valley, this pain, somehow, I don't have to know, will work together for good. Because it is God who is working in me, for me, watching over me, around me, because I am the part of the Word. My life must come to a fulfillment. My life must manifest the part of the Word I am supposed to manifest. Amen? The Ark of the Covenant, the complete manifestation of God's Word, if He calls you on me, all of us, you are part of me. If He is the complete manifestation of God's Word, then you are nothing but the part of that manifestation. Amen? A groom has no title of being called groom if there is no bride. A husband cannot earn the title husband if there is no wife. A mother cannot say, I'm a mother, there is no child. Everything, everyone has a role to play in the heavenly kingdom of God because He had spoken it. So in this beautiful verses, the Lord says, Yes, I have spoken things for my children. I have also spoken things, those are against my children. But there are things that I did not speak, but people say I spoke. Verse 28, we repeat again. And her prophets had daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity. In New King James, it is seeing visions. But in King James, it says it's vanity. Because whatever you see, whatever you listen, whatever you speak, whatever you think, if it was not from God, there is a name for it. Vanity. Nothing. Absolutely useless. Utterly going to be destroyed. And completely not under the perfect will of God. Whatever the Lord had not spoken it. But God, would God simply say, yes, yes, this man, this woman spoke something, I didn't speak. It's okay, I will just forget it. He would not do it. He said, for his name's sake, he will sanctify, he will consecrate, he will clean, he will purge, he will punish. Depends on whether he decided to keep his glory in the temple or to take the glory out of the temple. If he keeps his glory in the temple, blessed be the name of the Lord, we will go through punishment, chastening, storm. Praise the Lord. As long as his presence is with us, it is better to suffer with him rather than being happy, healthy, feeling so strong without him. It is worse. It is a blessing to die in him, to die for him, rather to live a long life without him. And this life is nothing but a vapor. Amen?
Amen?
So now, let's keep these words of life in our heart. And the Lord compared those who falsely declare the thoughts of the Lord, word of the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The Lord says, like a roaring lion, they want to go and devour the souls. But he calls them in verse 27, her princes in the midst of thereof are like a wolves ravening the prey. Have you seen how the wolves make a song? The howling. And do you see how the lion roars? Can you compare the roaring of a lion with the noise of a wolf? You can't. But this beast will present itself as a lion, to look like a lion, to deceive the souls, to take them away from the way of holiness and kill them somewhere in the darkness. Correct? But that way of holiness is nothing but inside the mighty hand of God, as we read in the book of John. So nobody can snatch his children away from the mighty hand of God. But if the child decides to follow the wolf, if the child decides to follow the great whore, the Babylon, all the false prophets are called her princess. You know, I'm talking about the book of Revelation, how the great whore is presented in the book of Revelation chapter 17. So, anything that the Lord hath not spoken, if someone, even the enemy, says, this is what the Lord said, and the Lord would step into the scene for his name's sake. If he wants to hold the fort for his children's sake. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 20, chapter 36, book of Isaiah, chapter 36. Book of Isaiah, chapter 36. 3:6, yes. I have been prayerfully meditating on this chapter for months, just these two chapters, 36 and 37. Because if you remember, this chapter is also in 2 Chronicles and also in 2 Kings. 2 Chronicles, 2 Kings, and also in the prophetical book, book of Isaiah. It's not the story, it's the sequence of the events and the words that were spoken by those who are against God and by those who are in God, in whom God is in them, and the way God had defended his city.
Amen.
There is the wrath of God beautifully presented, but not in the same way as how he dealt in the book of Ezekiel. In book of Ezekiel, it is called abomination. Amen? Do you know, outside the wall, if an enemy attacks you, it's not abomination. The enemy don't know God, he's attacking you. You just fight against what is coming against the city, the wall that the Lord allowed to build, is not abomination. But inside the house, anything that defiles the altar, anything that profanes His name, anything that brings dishonor to His holy name, God calls it as abomination.
Amen.
Not a blind sight. He says abomination. He don't take it lightly. Amen? So we will prayerfully meditate what happens in these two chapters as the Lord deals it in the same way how He deals it today. How He dealt before. Let's read from verse 1 and I will stop and we will go back and forth to some other verses. And let's start from verse 1, chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defended cities of Judah and took them. Amen? In this verse, do you see there is a beautiful hint? He came up against the defended cities, not any open cities, not the cities that were desolate or open for anyone to take over. But he was eyeing for cities which were, you know, defended. Because you do not lock your house if there is nothing precious inside. Amen? Let's say it's an open place which is nothing for anyone to take. There is no need for the thief to go and steal, to put his efforts, to take risk, even, you know, upon his own life, if he wants to invade a house, to steal something from that house, that precious thing will be locked by the owner of the house. Amen? I'm sure you all lock your house when you left the place, right? Unless you have nothing inside the house and just let open. Defended cities of Judah taken up by the king of Assyria. Because he wanted to go and take all the defended cities. Because when he sees there is a wall, there is a defense, he knows something inside, maybe it is good for him. Maybe some gold, some silver, something more precious, something more beautiful for him to just to go and kill everyone, just take it. Defended cities, verse 1. Remember this. Second, the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. What? Great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. Where he stood? He stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. That's where he stood. Rabshakeh sent by whom? The king Sennacherib. The king did not come. He just sent a messenger. Because he is a king. He needs to have messengers to do silly, small things that doesn't bring his honor down. He just maintains his pride and honor. He just sent some messenger just to speak for him as the mouth of the king. I repeat, Rabshakeh here is nothing but the vessel, the voice of the king, the mouth of the king. The same way God had ordained, anointed his vessel to be his mouth, to be his voice. Amen? Now you read this, verse 3. Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph the son's recorder. How many? There are three. Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah. And all three of them are identified from which house they are from. Amen? Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, and the recorder. Three. And Rabshakeh said unto them. So, the king Sennacherib, he sent Rabshakeh. And on the other side, there are three who are going to listen to the messenger or the vessel or the voice, the mouth sent by King Sennacherib. And let's hear what he says. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? You see how he opened his speech. Go and tell Hezekiah. And go and tell, it's not me whom speaking, thus saith the great king. What There is only one who can say, thus saith. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Almighty, great God of heaven, our gracious Heavenly Father,
Amen.
The Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
He can say, thus saith, because His word will come to pass. Amen?
Amen?
And now He says, He speaks like a servant of God, and He speaks like as if He is on behalf of His God, because He serves His Master, which He uttered later. Thus saith the great King. Don't you see it's a mockery? Is there any great king other than the King of Kings? But he believes the King of Sennacherib, King Sennacherib, is the great king because he ruled the great kingdom of Assyria. How big it is, how mighty it is, how much army they have, how much chariots, horsemen they have. And Rabshakeh believes, yes, I serve the great king. And he says, thus saith the great king. Go and tell Hezekiah. Hezekiah is not even identified as a king, because there is only one king in that verse, and that king is King Sennacherib. He did not simply say, I came here to pass a message, or please go and tell to your king. He didn't say that. He says, what confidence is this that thou trustest? How dare you that you are here demonstrating some confidence? Who gave you that confidence? Do you know who I am? My name is Rabshakeh. I am sent by the great king of Assyria. And I am here to say, thus saith the great king. Because he has an army, he is so strong, whatever he says will come to pass. He says, what confidence? Who gave you this faith, this trust, to showcase this boldness and confidence that thou trustest? Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But his trust will not be simply embraced. It will be mocked by those who don't trust in Him.
Amen.
Because people trust in people. But the true worshippers of God trust in Spirit, who is God. Amen?
Amen.
Now you read this. I sayeth thou. In King James, there is a sarcastic way of teasing this. Says, but they are but vain words. Because I sayeth thou. It says, they are vain words. Just know, I'm informing you well in advance, whatever is going to come later on, it is nothing but vain words. But not for Rabshakeh, but for the writer. Amen? The one who write the words inspired by the Spirit. They are nothing but vain words. Because why? Whatever the Lord hath not spoken, whatever the Lord hath not purposed, it is vanity. It is vanity. Amen? Now, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on, whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now Rabshakeh says, how dare you to rebel against me? Actually, they are the ones came all the way to meet those people. They are in their city, defended city. It is the king Sennacherib who wants to go and take over. And he sent a messenger, and the messenger says, how dare you to rebel against me? He says, the confidence that you have, the trust that you are holding on to is a rebellion against me and my king. Isn't it? Now, lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. If you know the history of King Sennacherib, there are a lot of wonderful things that happened in his life from where we can learn a lot. But we will quote what is written in the scripture for us to learn, because for the grace of God is sufficient for us. Amen? But when we seek more, the Lord will show more. I studied the full history of Sennacherib and the two sons and his kingdom, how he destroyed Babylon, and how he also wanted to destroy Judah, what he was doing, and what was his intent, and how he ended up. After studying these two chapters, it shows so beautifully how the wrath of God that stands between his children to chasten, for them to endure, and to grow, and to be trained, at the same time protect them from all that brings harm to them. If it is outside, he deals it in the same way. If it is inside, he deals it in the same way. Because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Now you read this. And he says in verse 7, but if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away, and said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar? He's mocking, isn't it? He's mocking. He says, if you still say we trust in the Lord God, you don't trust in anyone else. He's mocking them and Hezekiah. And verse 8, he says, a command. He's not requesting them for consideration. He's giving them a command, an instruction for them to follow or they die. Now, therefore, give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. He continues to mock them. I can give you 2,000 horses, but do you have people to ride them? Can you even put someone to ride those horses? Now, therefore, is a word God uses frequently in the Bible, Old Testament. I did this for you, I spoke this, I revealed this, I healed you, I performed a lot of miracles for you, but still, you stiff-necked people, ye little faith, now, therefore, it is the way God speaks to his children. Amen? Now, Rabshakeh is speaking like a roaring lion, because he serves a wolf who sits on the throne, and his name is King Sennacherib. Now he says, now therefore give pledges. So because of this, you give pledge to my king. And it's not any king. Now he brings the word master. Can anyone serve two masters? As we read in the parables. We are called to serve one master. Amen?
Amen.
Because he is our savior. And he says, I pray thee to my master the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses. See, he did not say, I pray to thee. He said, I will pray thee, I will ask my king, my master king of Assyria, to give thee 2,000 horses. That is the best I can do. I'm just bargaining for you. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Now Rabshakeh, he's trying to uncover his nakedness of his wrong understanding, that he thinks that they put their trust on this. On what? How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Chariots and horsemen. And these two words are mockery in the life of Moses, what happened in the Red Sea. Oh, chariots and horsemen. Yes, I remember. They were following us, and we crossed to the other side, then the sea devoured them. I could not see them. They got disappeared. The Red Sea became a wall of water that separated the children of Israel from those who tried to climb over the wall. They thought it's nothing but a dry land, but it is a wall. And the Red Sea built the wall again, and whoever came, they were buried underneath the wall. But this time around, it's called fire. The wall of fire. Amen? Now, verse 10, and am I now come up without the Lord against the land to destroy it? No, the Lord hath said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. When the Lord told him, and which Lord told him, and whom he's referring to whenever he say the Lord. And I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it. He questions, then he answers himself. The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now verse 11, the three who were listening to him, when Rabshakeh is speaking, now they start responding to him. Verse 11. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh. Do you think that all three were speaking at once? Remember, we discussed this in the book of Acts. When Peter and John saw the lame, they spoke. And the lame saw Peter and John. It was always Peter and John's name were together. Amen? They spoke, they did, they held the lame. It's all they. But when Peter was speaking, it was addressed to Peter. Amen? But here, It says all three, they are speaking to Rabshaka, which means they are in one mind, one accord, in the unity, as they speak as one. Someone is speaking as one for all three. And he says, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servant in the Syrian languages. Syrian languages. For we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language. In the ears of the people that are on the wall. Now, these three are pleading, or asking him. Those who are on the wall, they can't understand what you are speaking. Can you speak in Syrian language? Says, can you speak in Syrian language, for we understand it. And speak not to us in the Jewish language in the ears of people that are on the wall. Speak not. They simply continue to speak to him to see what is happening and how they can understand better. But now Rabshakeh, he responds. But Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? He's questioning. Now there are two masters mentioned in the same verse. In verse 9, there is only one master mentioned, which is King Sennacherib. In verse 12, Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Remember, it is the same King Saul was telling Samuel, can you help me to go and worship thy Lord? It was the same King Saul was telling my Lord, but when he fell, when he went against God, he himself, without his knowledge and consent, without his control, he utters the word, can you help me to worship thy Lord, your Lord? And Rabshakeh says, do you think my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? How insulting he's trying to make. So, where the eyes of the enemy was set is on those who sat on the wall. Why? Before you take a defended city, a territory that is defended, by who? Those who sit on the wall. Amen? Those who are watching all the sides to blow the trumpet, to warn the entire city, to be prepared for the battle if there is anything that is abnormal happens around the city. Amen? Then you can say, yes, this city is defended. I can see the watchman. See, he's sitting on a very tall tower. I can see the watchman. Now Rabshakeh is being very specific. Do you think my master sent me to your master and to speak these words to you? No. He says, hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, not far away from the wall, not hiding behind the wall, up on the wall, be prepared and ready to be hit by any arrow, because they know who shields them and they know who watch over them. And he says, I'm talking to those men on the wall, they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you. Now he also insults them, those who are speaking. Do you see any pride or arrogance or any self-righteousness in the way they speak in verse 11? Those three. Eliakim, Shephna and Joah. No, they just ask a request. Can you speak in Syrian language? We don't understand Jews' language. And verse 13. Then Rabshakeh stood. What do you mean by stood? So was he sitting all the while when he was speaking disrespectfully? Probably yes. But it says Rabshakeh stood, as if he's standing up to stand in the gap for his king Sennacherib. He's going to speak with boldness. Let's see what he makes, what he cries, the noise. And cried with a loud voice. For all of us, it is noise. In the Jewish language. Which language? In the Jewish language. But they requested him in verse 11, I pray thee unto thy servant in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jewish language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. And Rabshakeh stood, verse 13, and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language, and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, again, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Wow. So King Sennacherib filled Rabshakeh with his word and send Rabshakeh and to go and tell the people, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Thus saith the king. Where is your king? The king is in the kingdom. He is on the throne. I am Rabshakeh. I came here to be the voice of my king. I'm the vessel of adversary. He speaks. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't put your trust in Hezekiah. He still could not see. At first he talked about Egypt, horsemen, chariots. And now he brings forth Hezekiah. Don't put your trust in Hezekiah. He is deceiving you. And what he says, verse 15, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Now he is coming to the point. See, when an enemy, a vessel of adversary speaks, it always beats around the bush. Again and again and again and again until you become very tired. Then he will come and feed you the poison when you are tired, when your eyes are blurred. What is this? Oh, it is honey heated. Oh, it's so sweet. Then you die. He said, Egypt, chariot, horseman. Then he said, do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Then he comes to the straight point and hits the arrow at the heart saying, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. So what is the point? I am here sent by my king, the great king of Assyria, the great king Sennacherib, to come and tell you, don't put your trust in the Lord. That is what I came, but I took 14 verses to pass my message. Because I am the vessel of adversity, emptiness, vanity, I will just beat around the bush again and again and again, and I mean nothing but vanity. I can't speak straight, because I don't stand in the same foundation as you. You spoke straight, they spoke straight. I can't speak straight, because I am crooked. I just follow my king, who is also crooked. He says, don't put your trust in the Lord. Hezekiah is trying to make you to put the trust in the Lord. Don't you dare to do it. That is what the message, verse 15, Rabshakeh says. The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Don't you dare to trust in this promise. Don't have faith in the Lord. Have faith in King Sennacherib. He is mightier than God. Verse 16. Hearken not to Hezekiah. For thus saith the king of Assyria. How many times? Three times he said, thus saith the king. Thus saith the king. But the king is not there. Make an agreement with me by a present. Now we are coming to the next stage. Agreement. Whenever you listen the word agreement, even in your house, tenancy agreement, employer contract agreement, every time you hear the word agreement, remember, we all had agreement with hell. We were walking towards destruction, to the hellfire. The Lord atoned us to life, disannulled us from all this agreement that we had with sin, the enemy, the fresh carnality. He cut and circumcised us to be released into the plain. And what is our freedom? To be a prisoner of Christ. That is your freedom. That is my freedom. To be a prisoner of Christ, who shield you with His love, His anger, His wrath, His grace, His mercy, His joy, His strength, His anointing, His understanding, His revelation. Whatever He does, be a prisoner of Christ. Amen? But it is called your freedom. Where there is the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Yes. But you are a prisoner of Christ. What? Why God speaks in parables? Because He speaks the truth. It is the same. If you want to be free in Christ, you have to be a bondservant to Christ in His word. You can't do anything outside the word. You can't do anything near the word. You can't do anything over the word. You will do everything in the word. Amen. You are surrounded, shielded, sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Now, thus saith the king. Let's continue to hear this mockery. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat ye every one of his wine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his own cistern. Make an agreement with me with a present. Present. What is your present, my brethren? What is your present from the Lord? Salvation is a gift to you. And the Lord will come and give you the crown of glory, and you will receive your reward. And we say, Lord, I receive my reward, my exceedingly great reward. And Lord, I am established in the present established truth, the manifestation of word of the Lord, which goes through the grace period, and the Lord is revealing things one by one. But everything is done in His sight. Amen? We are just looking at and witnessing it because we are bound to time. We are like the wood that is going along with the water current. Even if you want, you can't go to the past, right? Can you go something undo from your past? You can't. But you can make your tomorrow straight by living the present. The present. Now, Rabshakeh says, I can accept your agreement, but with the present, so that you can declare your free will to me, to my master, the Mammon. Whatever things that are vanity against the life. Emptiness against blessedness. Amen? Agreement and present. Do not forget these two words. Because the word present is that dishonest gain, is that personal gain that your heart tricks you to gain. If we are all called to be the true servants of Christ, true worshippers of God, you already received your gain. To die is gain. Amen? The Lord blessed you to die to sin and to live in Him. You received your gain. Period. Done. Case closed. Amen. Then to live is Christ. Amen? Yes. If you look for any other gain, I want to be appreciated, I want to be respected, I want to be honored. Listen to me. You serve King of Assyria, not the King of Kings. The King of Assyria still lives in wickedness, in darkness, in the spiritual wickedness of this world, of this evil hold of this world.
Amen.
There are a lot of kings of Assyria. They call themselves as great kings. Great kings. That is why in the book of Revelation, God did not leave out this name. Chief captains, great kings, mighty men. Drink my wrath. He just mocked them. When you speak the truth, it will also be a mockery. Amen? Because you speak the truth. Now you read this. Verse 17. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. What? This word must be spoken by my master who will come and take all of us home. Who is he speaking this? Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, and a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Do you see what is happening here? When God blessed the people of Israel to walk through the wilderness, Moses was encouraging them because they were so stiff-necked, with little faith. He was telling them, there is a promised land with milk and honey. Because they were not contented with manna from heaven. They wanted to eat the food from the ground, from the dust. Milk and honey. They wanted something sweet. Something that can tell their minds, wow, so sweet. What is this manna from heaven? What is bread? I don't taste anything. I want something I like. They were looking for promised land, milk and honey. They could not taste the milk, the spiritual milk. God was feeding them at bait. They could not taste the word of the Lord, just the true honey. They were looking for something flesh, something bread, and they died. Most of them didn't make it. The second generation was circumcised by Joshua when he brought them to the promised land. But that promised land, when the Lord wants you to grow from a level that is so low in your faith, and He blessed you to grow into another higher ground where you are stronger in faith, that higher ground is your promised land. Because you ate the milk, you ate the honey, you ate the bread of life to be able to walk and reach the higher ground. Is it over? No. He will take you to higher ground again. Your spiritual life has no destination to tell you, go for a holiday. Can you? The day you go on a holiday, the day you are dead. Because to live is Christ. Amen? Why do you want to take a holiday from Christ? Which means you are dead, backslided. Go and serve Rabshakeh and Sennacherib. Promised land is the higher ground that the Lord is taking you in. Not something worldly. Lord, if I get the job, I bless your holy name. Better you don't serve the Lord. Lord, I love you more if you can heal me from sickness. Don't you dare to love God. He is beyond your sickness.
He's beyond your pain. He's beyond your valley. The next day you will wake up, you don't even realize who is your mother. That is how your brain is. There are millions of neurons going on. If I twist one neuron, your life is gone. You won't be even yourself. That's how weak you are. That is how weak I am. But still the Lord gave us a state of mind to tell him, I praise you, Lord, and I trust you, you are my life. From where this mind came? This from these neurons or from my blood and from my flesh? Nothing. Nothing can please God. Flesh cannot please God. For God is spirit. If the Lord blessed you with a state of mind to think like him, to be humble, to serve him without any dishonest personal gains, the Lord is in you.
Yes.
If you have a single expectation, I wanted to be called this, I wanted to be appreciated by this, let me tell you in the word of the Lord, wrath of God abideth on you.
Yes.
Run back to the shelter. And where is the shelter? Go through the fire, the wall of fire, endure the chastening, repent and go through the valley and run into the city, where the city is called Judah, defended by God himself. Do you think God will open the door? It's fine, fine. You have profaned my name. It's okay. Just come in. Oh, my brethren, take a good example from my child. He has profaned my name. He has spoken evil against all of you, all the brethren, including me. But I will just let them walk in, walk out. That's not the God I serve. That's not the God you serve. For God is righteous judge.
Amen.
When he spoke, he has done it. Amen?
Amen?
Reverence and honor cannot be learned. It must come from within by God who is in you.
Amen.
The true reverence, the true fear of God, you will be consumed by it. You can't control the fear of God. The day you think, oh, I'm walking into the church, I'm going to embrace fear of God. God is not in you. You will walk into the church because of the fear of God. God is in you. Because fear of God will have dominion over you when he is in you. When you think you are above him, you will think Sunday, fear of God. Monday, grace of God. Tuesday, love of God. You will think so many things. But the fruit of the Spirit is singular, is unity. Everything all in one package, the Spirit itself.
Amen.
Either you have it or you don't. Those six things, true, good report, honest, all those six things, can we say, Lord, by God's grace, I have walked with you for 40 years, I have reaped five of those true things, whatsoever things. I have one left. What is that, my son? I could not get that honest, the good report. You don't have all those six things. Because you can't circumcise God's word. Can we circumcise God's word? The reason is, we are growing, amen? We are learning. We fall and rise. We fall and rise. That is our learning process. Because we are not perfect. We are sinners. But in this learning process, the Lord says, you are perfect in my word. Because my word is beyond your life. Amen?
Amen.
But our life, we are going through that fulfillment, that manifestation. And God says, you are not perfect in you. You are not perfect in the world. But you are perfect in my word because you are part of my word.
Amen.
So, if the Lord says, I, the only one, can make you perfect, and we say, Lord, I am in you, you are in me, I humble myself, and I surrender myself to glorify your name alone. Not like, I will glorify your name along with my name. I will glorify your name, then I will glorify my name. It is not the King of Kings, it is the King of Sennacherib, King of Assyria. That is how they speak. Let's continue to read this. Verse 17, he says, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land. We just read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Like a roaring lion, ravening the prey, and take it and tell them, until I take you to a land far away, I will give you bread, vineyard, and I will give you wine. But the wool will devour the wool. Why I'm not saying sheep? Can the shepherd will let one sheep of his flock to be devoured by the wolf? He would allow them to be sacrificed, but he would never allow them to be devoured by the wolf. Do you believe this? Every time the Lord allowed his saints, his servants, his vessels to go through sufferings for his holiness to be perfected in their lives, for his manifestation to be fulfilled in their life, as the part of the word. Amen? A beautiful example is Stephen. I love Stephen. I don't know how beautiful the way he lived in just two chapters to tell all of us, I am a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He said it without speaking. He just lived it. And whatever Jesus did on Calvary, He did the same, even better on the ground. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Charge them not for this sin. Jesus said the same on the cross. A child of God, a faithful follower of Christ, will live like the Master. Amen? Will resemble the origin, the source of the light. I can't have my own light. That's what Rabshakeh is telling. He is actually shining his own light. I will take you to a land like your land, and I will give you vineyards and breads and this and that. For children of God, there is only one land. Amen? Now let's read verse 18. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you. Come on, you are invading. You are persuading. And he says, be careful, Hezekiah will persuade you. What he will do? Saying, the Lord will deliver us. How irony is that? Saying the Lord will deliver you is persuading in the sight of Rabshakeh. Because there is only one who can persuade, who can do all things. It is King Sennacherib. For him, for his mind. Had any of the God of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He is putting a question mark. A very beautiful question, right? He is asking for proof. Do you see? He wants proof. He's asking a proof. Okay. Had any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? This is a word similar to how Jesus spoke to his disciples. Nobody can take the children, the flock, from the hand, out of the hand of my Father. Amen? And he had given all of them to me, and nobody will pluck them out of my Father's hand. The way Jesus spoke is so beautiful. He keeps on giving back everything to Father. Although the Father said, I have given everything to you. But Jesus said, yes, but nobody can take you from my Father's hand.
Amen.
If we want to learn how to be a child of God, a servant of God, a vessel that can glorify His name, everything He spoke in His parables. He spoke everything in the parables. Even the parables I see as the beautiful stories coming from the Old Testament. When Jesus said, rich fool, your life will be demanded tonight, it happened to all the rich fools in the Old Testament. Not one, all. He demanded their life on that night. They did not see the next day. Because next day they had devised plans to go against the people of Israel, to go against the children of God. So they did not see tomorrow. Because God wanted His children to see tomorrow. His intention was not to kill them that they don't see tomorrow. His desire is for His children to see tomorrow. And for that reason, He will burn, cut, destroy everything that is against His word. Because all things that are standing against like Goliath, like city of Jericho, will be flattened down when the word of God is going on a road. Going on fulfillment of the prophecies. Now let's learn from the verse 19. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arphad? Where are the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? He's referring to the king of Assyria. Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand? That the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand. Now he's speaking about Jerusalem. Verse 21, but they held their peace. What is the reaction from those who listen to it? They held their peace. And answered him not a word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Answered him not a word. They did not speak few. Answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Now which king they are referring to? King Hezekiah. Amen? For they answered him not even a word, for the king commanded them, answer him not. Not all the questions for you to answer. Because they are not questions. They are nothing but deceitful thoughts, traps, deceptive, no traps for you to fall. But they simply held their peace in silence, in strength, in quietness. They just obeyed what the king told them, answered him not. They obeyed. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the word of Rabshakeh. They rent their clothes. By God's grace, we will have a deeper series when the Lord blesses us to go on garments. The way the Old Testament deal with garments, and the way the New Testament garment was revealed, it is so deep. Why the servants of God, they tore their clothes? Why those who killed Stephen, they laid their clothes at the feet of Saul? Why David tore his clothes and changed to sackcloth? The Lord blessed his children. Every single action of a vessel of God glorifies the name of God. Amen? In the way he speaks, in the way he carries himself, even in the way he clothes. Joseph was not stupid to run away from the wife of Potiphar. Because the wife was able to come so close to touch the garment of Joseph, the moment he saw it, he dropped his garment and ran and flee away from her. A man ran away from a woman. He was not trusting his strength or might or his faith or his skills. The moment he saw something ungodly, something unholy, touched my garment to be able to come this closer to lay hands on me, he dropped the garment and ran away from the place. He excluded himself from the iniquity, from the wrath of God. He separated himself from the sword. Because the sword will not come. It's always there. It's always there between holy and unholy. The wrath of God is always there, forever, from holy and unholy. Lucifer simply did not fall just because God decided to become angry. He is Almighty. I am that I am. I am who I am. Same yesterday, today and forever.
Amen.
It is there. Amen? It's always there. Now, let's read. They rented their clothes and they came to Hezekiah with their clothes rent and told him the words of Rabshakeh. So they told everything to Hezekiah. Do you see something so beautiful here? There are only two places these three spoke to Rabshakeh. In verse 11, when they could not understand what he was speaking, they were asking him a request, speak in Syrian language, for the men on the wall could not understand in Jewish language. But Rabshakeh, he just disrespected them and just continued all the nonsense, noises that he was about to make. Not music, noise. And after they finished, they only had something to say. And that something was 21, was peace. They held their peace and answered him not a word. For their king told them, answer him not. Because after this, they went to the king with their clothes rent. The king was not standing with them. They were standing on behalf of the king. Amen? The same way, Rabshakeh was standing alone for his king. You see, one against three. Adversary with two or more witnesses. Amen? God does not simply play with the numbers. Three were standing, listening to what Rabshakeh was speaking. And from King Sennacherib's side, there was only one name mentioned. But from King Hezekiah's side, three names mentioned. And those three were listening to him. And they went to the king with their clothes rent, but without speaking a word to Rabshakeh. In verse 21, they obeyed, followed what the Lord spoken to them through the king in whom they trust God is in him.
Amen.
Now verse 37, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. You see, three of them rent their clothes. And now Hezekiah says, let me join the party. And the fourth one, I also rent my clothes. Because they are in one mind, one accord, one faith, with one desire to serve the Lord and none. Nothing. Hezekiah did not see them, "Oh, you came to me with your clothes rent, let me make you feel comfortable. Let me also rent my clothes." No. A vessel of God behaves, lives, speaks, demonstrates the same way all the vessels would do. Because it's all led by the same Spirit. Amen? Because it burdens Hezekiah. It brings grievousness to Hezekiah's heart, what he heard. And now we see what happens. And covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Exactly what David did when the Lord struck his child and the child became sick. Amen?
Amen.
Covered himself with sackcloth and where he went? To the house of the Lord. But what is his name? King Hezekiah. If King Hezekiah was the same as King Sennacherib, who will call and say, "I am the great King Hezekiah," he would have told all the armies, "Put on your armor, let's go out and fight and kill this nonsense." But rather, he removed his clothes as a king. He put on his clothes in sackcloth because he's going to pray. He's not a king to the King of Kings. To the King of Kings, he is always the child of God. The servant of God. Nothing but the dust of the earth, which received the privilege to have the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
He is not going to the house of the Lord as a king Hezekiah. He is going to the house of the Lord as the child Hezekiah.
Amen.
Who is called by the Lord himself. Sackcloth, not the king clothing, not the royal clothing, sackcloth. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth. Everybody in the same uniform. And to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Do you see, in this chapter, all the children of God are referred back to the father's name. There is a reason to it. Isaiah the son of Amos, Eliakim the son of Hilkiah the son of Joab the son of. Everybody, they are addressed to the name of the father. We will go there why. Verse 3, and they said unto him, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." Blessed be the name of the
Amen.
Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
How true the words are. "For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth." The mothers would understand this verse more than the fathers. But the husbands would understand this verse more than the wives. Do you understand what I'm saying? A pain of a wife is extremely painful to the husband. You would just go and lay your life for her. Amen? Those mothers who give birth to the child, the fathers know those waiting period to hear. Mother and child are good and in healthy condition. Until that, those 30 minutes, it's like forever. You will go alone and you will cry. If there is a news, oh, there is a complication. I did. If there is something, oh, the mother and child, they are in some extremely dangerous state. But your mind will go to the wife first, then the child. And after give birth, of course, the mother, they have given everything for the child to come alive. Amen? For the child to come into the world. All her strength, all her blood in the form of milk, all the nutrients from her body, she gave to the child. And the Lord blessed that mother to bring forth a child. And the mother, after giving birth, she can only breathe. She can't even speak. No strength. But the Lord would bring her back to the place where she belongs. Not just as a woman, but as a vessel of God, a mother who brings forth the child, a beautiful spiritual prefiguration of monogene seed that brings forth seed. Amen? Is it so simple for us to witness the birth of children, even the birth of creations of God? How beautiful it is. Bring forth children. But at that time, that vessel is weak. Why? Because all the strength given to the child. Now the vessel will eat to grow in strength, to become as strong as ever before. Now you read verse 4, "It may be the Lord thy God will hear the word of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God." Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
reproached the living God. Because he compared the living God with other gods of other nations whom they take over. They simply underestimated God who is with the house of Hezekiah, the Judah. Now, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Now you see, who heard this? The three brethren, those three people who went there to heard those words, and they came and told Hezekiah, but now they say, the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Who heard those words? God. We oftentimes misunderstood the hand of God, voice of God, mouth of God, eyes of God. But God is also listening through his vessels. God is also listening through his vessels. So, therefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at the beautiful desire, the purpose of that prayer. Not to destroy the enemy, not to kill King Sennacherib, not to make them to be insulted, not to put them into shame, but simply a genuine, a desire that is acceptable in the presence of God, which is, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. All the children of God is simply labeled as remnant that is left. Do you know, after the Lord finished pouring down all the seven bowls of wrath, after he finished purification of everything, the only thing that is left will be nothing but his remnants.
Amen.
Not your service to the Lord, not your offerings to the Lord,
Amen.
Not all the silver, brass, gold, and whatever you did for the Lord, but the life that did those things for the Lord.
Amen.
The remnants. We are not going to take all our wealth from this world to the promised land. There is no way to it. The fire will burn everything. Only the spirit man can bypass the fire. Now, let's read this. So, the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Now that they are going to the prophet. The prophet entered the scene in verse 2, chapter 37. There was no mentioning of prophet Isaiah in chapter 36. Now the prophet is entering into the scene. Because Isaiah is the mouth and the spokesperson for God during his lifetime. Do not forget the 3 years of naked walk of Isaiah, which is also linked to the kingdom of Assyria. Amen? God told Isaiah, walk naked for 3 years. Isaiah said, done. And God went and dealt with all the green country. See, my servant, he went walking for naked for me, so I'm going to do this for you. Even the 3 years of humiliation, shame, that Isaiah was able to bear the reproach for God, God did something to clean for his children. Amen?
Amen?
Now let's continue. Verse 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. Now, thus saith the Lord is coming in.
Amen.
From whom, by whom, and through whom? Now we can see, Rabshakeh represents King Sennacherib. Amen? Now prophet Isaiah, he says, I am coming in the name of the Lord, and thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this thus saith the Lord, indeed, truly, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And whatever we heard before, it's vanity. Noise. Someone is shouting, someone is barking. Forget it. Noise. Now let's listen prayerfully. Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the word thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me.
Amen.
Lord did not say, oh, forgive them, they spoke something that they don't understand. That is only on the Calvary. That is different. This one is not Calvary. This is something, an invasion, and the Lord is going to stop it. Calvary was not invasion. Calvary was sacrifice, atonement. It was filled with grace and mercy and love. And now God is defending the city and teaching them, don't you dare to think these walls built by the watchman on the wall are bricks. I am the wall.
Amen.
For the children of God, for the house of the Lord, for the ministry of God, for the church of God, God is the wall.
Amen.
Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. Don't you forget, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto the shepherds, do you know what the Bible recorded there? The light shone around them, the glory of the Lord shone around them. But the shepherds, they are simply witnessing the angel of the Lord who stood in front of them. But that light consumed them. There was a territory drawn by the angel of the Lord, by the glory of the Lord. The shepherds were inside that perimeter.
Amen.
Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. The wall of fire round about and the glory of the Lord right there in the midst, the center. Amen? Now let's continue. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. Not dumb. Lord, always, I repeat, always, he goes for the yoke. Because he will throw a single stone, hit the yoke. Everything else that is attached to it will be broken into pieces like a piece of glass. But that yoke, that hold, God will hit. That yoke, single yoke. He says, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. What? A rumor. A person who spreads rumor will also be eaten by rumors. Do you know that? He can't live without rumors. You could have seen in your office. You could have seen in your office lunch meetings. There is always someone who can't eat without gossiping. They can't finish their lunch without backbiting about someone. As if they can't enjoy their food. They can't even go to sleep without them speaking evil of someone on that day. Or else that day is not in their lives. They eat backbiting. They eat adversary. They eat pointing criticism. Because they eat that and they live. And that life is temporary. Unmortal temper. Now let's read this. I will send a rumor and he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. What land? Own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He will not let that unclean, unholy, filthy blood to be shed inside the city of God who has sanctified the city for his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why God says, your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Don't you dare to fight inside my camp. If I see any unclean blood, I will ask you. Don't you dare to bring judgment in my house. I am the judge.
Amen.
The Lord who is mighty, he is mighty in battle. He threw Miriam out. He will not let a leprous skin to live together with the celestial bodies that he is going to give them the glory, the crown of glory unto them. He will transform them. He will not let, he will throw it out, spit out. No unclean blood to be shed inside the camp of God. So he says, I will send him back to his land. I will let him to be devoured by his sword. He don't want his sword to make dirty. The double-edged sword, it cuts by speaking. Amen?
Amen?
The word of the Lord does the job. The mighty battle in the Old Testament is so beautiful in spiritually if you look at it. The way God dealt Joshua and Moses, Aaron, Hur and Eleazar and also Phinehas. Now let's continue. So Rabshakeh returned. Why so he returned? Because the prophet had spoken. Isaiah has spoken the word. The word must come to pass. What he spoke, he will return to his land. They did not go and tell him, oh Rabshakeh, can you please go? My prophet spoke the word. He didn't say anything. The prophet spoke, Rabshakeh returned. The devils, even the devils, subject to the authority of the name of the Lord. Amen. Scripture.
Amen.
And the king of Assyria warring against Libna. And for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. Remember where king of Sennacherib was. Verse 1 and 2. Verse 2. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem. Amen. In verse 2, Rabshakeh went to Jerusalem from Lachish. And in verse 8, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king Assyria warring against Libna. So there is something happened back home. King of Assyria, he went for a war against Libna. And because of that, Rabshakeh, he heard the news, so he departed from Lachish. Now, verse 9. And he heard say concerning Sirachah, king of Ethiopia, he is come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest. Now he declared the faith of Hezekiah to Hezekiah himself. Oh, now I know you put your trust in thy Lord, thy God. Deceive thee. You see, earlier his iniquity was here. He was telling, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will tell the Lord will deliver you. Now he's telling Hezekiah, don't let the Lord deceive you. How dare he? Do you see what he's speaking? He's speaking, thus shall he speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, he says, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee. How dare he? It was okay when he was blaspheming against Hezekiah. It was okay when he told the tree saying, don't trust Hezekiah. He will say, go and trust in God. He's a bad guy. He's an evil king. Fine. Let the sons of God, servants of God, to be sacrificed, to be killed, to the glory for the name of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But now what he said, oh Hezekiah, you are on my side, you know. Don't trust his God. He will deceive you. What? God will deceive Hezekiah. Saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Whatever happened from this chapter, whatever the walls broken, Jerusalem was taken, whatever happened, can we say, oh, this verse did not come to pass? Is it so simple? Lord will simply speak plainly, literally, figuratively. He always speaks deeply. For deep things of God is always there in the words of God. Amen? No one can stand against Jerusalem. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. Now he brings a plural term. Not the king of Assyria, kings of Assyria. Because the great king needs to call himself a great king by having many kings under his wing. So that he can say, hey, I am the great king. I have a different title. I am not a junior king, you know. You can call me a global senior principal king. I have a lot of growth, you know, in my hierarchy. I'm going on my career. I want more limelight. If I have king, I want to be called great king. Don't you dare to call me as a king. I am the great king. Because he had kings who are working for him like slaves. How God called all of us? Saints and kings. Amen? Because he is the king of kings. And you are the king. The Lord says, I am the king of kings. Whomsoever will rule with the king must be a king. Amen. Now let's read this. What they have done to all the land by destroying them utterly. Now you see, God did not destroy the land of heathen gods. He let the heathen god to destroy the heathen gods. Because he wants to spend his time with Adam in the Garden of Eden, with his children, to listen to the praise and worship, to do something that is life, that is more pleasing, sweet aroma in his presence. He don't want to go and listen to the noises, vanity. Because God will not spend his time on vanity. He is in eternity. Amen? Don't you dare to link to vanity. We serve God who wants all of us to embrace eternity. Now let's continue. Verse 12. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Telezah? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Eva? He is actually boasting. You know what? All these guys are destroyed, man, by my great king. Don't you feel scared? I want you to be afraid. But Prophet Isaiah told them, be not afraid of the word spoken. And for that reason, the sheep will never be afraid, for the lion is inside. Amen? Now let's read. 14. Verse 14 is where Hezekiah teaches all of us beyond generations, beyond time, that goes through seven church ages. Verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. Now you tell me, what was sent? A letter was sent against the house of the Lord, sent through the messengers of Rabshakeh, who is the slave or vessel or whatever you want to call himself, to King Sennacherib. At first, Rabshakeh was speaking, and those three didn't say a word. They just They just chased him away with silence. Amen? Because they did not say him anything, not a word, and they went to King Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and Prophet Isaiah came in into the picture. As a voice of the Lord, he spoke, thus saith the Lord. He spoke the word, and the word come to pass, and Rabshakeh returned. Now Rabshakeh, what he does, he sent messengers with a letter. What? Letter. A letter was written against the church of God, against the house of the Lord, against the children of God, and sent to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah received the letter. Now see what happened. And read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. He did not spread it before the men. He did not spread it before his army. Don't you forget, he is a king. He was a king. He was defending a city. He had armed men before. But he spread it before the Lord. Lord, this is what I received. May you look at the words that are spoken, written against thee. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. He praised the Lord. He is not simply complaining or murmuring. He just prayed to the Lord, and by praising him, Lord, how mighty you are, and you are in me. He just praised the Lord, finding strength in silence. He says, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib. He didn't even say King Sennacherib. Do you see? Can a king who has kings, and when the king speaks to the king, can they mention another king? No. A servant can only serve one master. Hezekiah would never address Sennacherib as great king to the king of kings. He says, Sennacherib, because Rabshakeh was doing the same thing, Hezekiah. Go and tell Hezekiah. But when he wanted to deceive Hezekiah, he exalted Hezekiah by saying, Oh, King Hezekiah, don't trust your God. You see the way exalt is happening by deceiver. He will insult you or he will exalt you. Whatever he does, he wants your soul to be destroyed. Be aware. Now you read. And here are the words of Sennacherib, which had sent to reproach the living God. He didn't say the house of the Lord. Lord, I don't care if he kills me. I don't care if he insults me. I don't care if I am the fool in the entire city of Judah. But Lord, this reproach is against the living God. Because he said, don't you be deceived by your God. He said that, right? He said that. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is exactly the same. When the Lord spoke in it, and you say he didn't speak it. When the Lord gave it, but you say he didn't give it. It's the same as when the Lord did not speak it, but you said he spoke it. And the Lord did not give it, but you said the Lord gave it. Both are same. Don't you dare to say, oh, this is a higher sin, this is a lower sin. It's abomination if you are inside the camp. It is an attack if you are outside the camp. Both are same. But the double-edged sword deals in two different sides. Now read this. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. You see how I can't understand the wisdom the Lord, he blesses his children with when they pray. Because that wisdom is heavenly. It's so powerful, you can't measure it. Because the vessel of God needs to speak for God, you know. Because God said, I'm looking for someone to speak the word. Why? Because he is the living God. Speak the word, living word, done, case closed. The vessel must yield to sell the Lord. Yes, there are so many people sacrifice their birthrights for a piece of mortal food. Sacrifice their free will for some kings of Assyria, but not here I am. I sacrifice my whole life to you. When he saw that vessel, okay, touch the vessel, speak the word, done. Now he says, of a truth, Lord, of a truth. Yes, it is true. It is true that they destroy the kings. They destroy the heathen cities. It is true. They are not lying. Of course, the enemy will not lie to you completely. He will always mix the poison in the fruit. He won't give you the poison. He's not stupid. He's cunning. He is cunning. In the book of Psalms, the serpent is represented to beautify, to glorify the wisdom of the Lord. That is why in the garden, the evil, when the serpent was an upright creature, when God cursed it, it was compared to a serpent. Goes left and right, goes left and right. It is not the wisdom of the Lord's purity, innocence, the truth. but it is the wisdom of cunningness, disciple thoughts. That is why Antichrist, evil wickedness, spiritual wickedness. On the other side, we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, holiness, way of holiness. Amen? Righteousness. Now we read, now, and have cast that God into the fire. It is true, they also did something like you, God. You will also throw all of them into fire. They also did the same thing, literally. For they were no God, but the work of men's hand, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, he is not asking him clarity. He himself is giving answers. They were able to do it because they were serving gods of wood and stone. So, they were able to destroy them. Now, you see, the beast, that is like a wolf or a roaring lion, it can destroy. Indeed, it can destroy. Those who worship God in wood and stone. Those who serve God who are nothing but heathen. But they can't destroy, they can't lay their hands upon those who serve the King of Kings. And now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth that may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only, because he separated himself as holy. Amen? And he also separated his children to be holy. Separation is there. Now, who is going to speak? The Lord is going to speak. Rabshakeh spoke. Three listened. The three went to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah spoke. Prophet Isaiah came, uttered the words. Now the Lord is coming into the scene. Because Hezekiah submitted a petition. He appealed to the Lord. But he didn't ask, do this, do that. Did you see? Hezekiah did not say anything. He didn't say anything other than praising him and declaring his faith. He didn't tell him, I want you to do this. He didn't give a checklist to the Almighty, to the potter who molds the clay. He just told him, Lord, I praise you, I worship you, I trust in you. Now verse 21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah by whom? By God himself. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib the king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice. Now you see how the Lord sees things and how he decodes what happened. Exalted thy voice. Exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel. That is where the iniquity stood. When they maintain silence, you see, those three maintain silence the same way the wise men who went to see Jesus Christ when he was born. The great Herod, he wanted them to return to him, to report to him, right? But the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and told them, go away. Don't go to the king of Herod. Their absence, their silence, provoked the king and he decided to kill all the children. Remember, iniquity is filled by the silence of the wise man. Here, when we read in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15 to 18, in silence, you will find strength. Amen? In quietness, you will find strength. Why? You are submitted to the Lord who is mighty in battle. Now you read. This is the word which the Lord has spoken. This is how Isaiah is speaking to him. He gives back everything to God for the word to come to pass. By thy servant, verse 24, hast thou reproached the Lord and hast said, by the multitude of my chariot, I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of the Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice for trees thereof, and I will enter into the heights of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet I have dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago, have I not have done it, and of ancient time that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass? That thou shouldest be to lay waste different cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. Now you see how the words are written. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as a green herb, as a grass on the housetop, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. Before grown up, blasted. But I know thy abode and thy going out. I know where you come from and I know where you go out. And I thy coming and thy rage against me. Thus saith the Lord, was how Isaiah is speaking. Rage against me. Against whom? God. Because thy rage against me and thy turmoil is come up into mine earth, therefore will I put my hook. You read this very carefully. Therefore I will put my hook into thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. Put my hook into your nose and my bridle in thy lips, for you spoke against me, and you spoke on behalf of me, and you spoke things that I didn't speak, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. A remnant will bear fruit. Now, let's continue from verse 33 as we close today. Verse 33. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. Now the Lord is speaking. Whatever thus saith the Lord, said by thus saith the great king, now the Lord is doing undo process and telling his children, he shall not come into the city, praise the Lord, nor shoot an arrow, not even two arrows, many arrows, not even a single arrow, not an arrow there, not even a single arrow will be there from him. Nor come before it with shield, nor cast a band against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why David came out of nowhere into the scene now? Whenever the Lord remembers his covenants, his promises, his word spoken to his children will be remembered by his very own children when the words are coming to pass. He will bring it back and bring forth the way he spoke. He said, I will do it for mine own sake, because they are my children, my city, my house. And for my servant's sake, because he stood for me those days. So whatever the sacrifice, obedience, service that David did, it defeated his very own life and go beyond life and go beyond his lifetime and brings forth life even in the time of King Hezekiah, when the Lord said, I did this for Abraham's sake, I did this for David's sake, I did this for Moses' sake. Then the book of Revelation says, Jesus, I am the root and offspring from David. The last chapter. Now let's read this. 36. Then, after this, you see, King Sennacherib spoke to Rabshakeh. Then Rabshakeh came, as if he is the angel of King Sennacherib, right? Then he left, sent messengers with a letter of filthy words spoken against the house of the Lord. Now, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 144,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. They did not see another day in their lives, for the Lord had spoken. Then why there is a word says they arose early in the morning? Can you see? Look at it very carefully. The angel smote in the camp of Assyrians 144,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, not the great king Sennacherib, Because whatever the greatness that you are holding on to, taken away from you. You rich fool, your life is going to be demanded tonight. And went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Every time I read the word Nineveh, I remember what God dealt with his servant and the city of Nineveh. That is so beautiful. Now, verse 38, and it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house, when, I repeat, when King Hezekiah was worshipping his God, the living God, was praying to the Lord, in the house of the Lord, with the sackcloth, and God spoke to him. And now, King Sennacherib, he was worshipping in his house of Nisroch, his God. When Sennacherib was worshipping his God, that Adramelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. My brethren, the great king Sennacherib was not killed by another great king, was not killed by a mighty army of God, was not killed by King Hezekiah. He was killed by his very own two sons, who were always with him in the name of helping him. They killed their own father with their sword. For why? They wanted to reap some personal benefit in the name of their father, as if they were helping his father, but the truth was revealed when they killed their own father. That is written, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 37. I'll read. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 37. Yes. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his God, that Adramelech and Sharezer his son smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. Amen. We read this in the book of Isaiah, and 2 Chronicles, it beautifully expounds why the sons did it for their sake. Because they wanted to reign in his stead, and they also killed their own father. Because the Lord said, the way you came, the way you return. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as we will continue next week. Meditate on the words of life. Apply those six blessed thoughts the Lord called all of us to keep thinking on these chapter 36 and 37. And you know how the Lord dealt the situation in his word. Amen. Amen. Shalom, brethren. Let's stand and pray. Our Lord, our God, our great God of heaven, the Lord who watch over his children, the Lord who shields his children, and the Lord who defend his children. God, may you bless us to learn from thy word, to understand the importance of prayers, to understand the importance of throw away all our garments of flesh, our thoughts and our mind, and to put on the sackcloth, O Lord, to go before thee, and to Lord, to pray, and to pray, and to pray, and to seek thy presence, and to find strength and courage and boldness in silence and quietness, O Lord. For you are always with us. You are always guiding us in your word. We bless your holy name, O Lord, that you are our shield and you are our anchor. And in you, your name, the strong tower, we shall rest. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, guide us and teach us to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.